The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and I will try and remember to list the source on each one of those. So let's start off with one from Real Simple. The Modern Manners column, Real Simple's etiquette expert Catherine Newman, offers her best advice on your social quandaries. First, EB asks, when guests arrive for a dinner party or lunch and you greet them at the door, how long before you offer them a cup of coffee or glass of wine? My husband is in charge of the welcoming, and I don't care to be bossy, but he never asked that question early enough for me. And the manners answer, I read this question aloud to my family and everyone laughed, given that I am somewhat famous for offering drinks to our guests while they're still in the driveway, which is only because I myself want to be handed a glass of wine before I've even unzipped my coat. That said, there is certainly no need for panicked urgency when it comes to beverages. Just let your husband know what your preference is. I don't mean to be bossy, and I love the warm way you welcome our guests. Would you indulge me and offer them drinks a little sooner? I might just be projecting, but I think many people like to have a drink in hand within a few minutes of arriving. Another solution would be to set up a little bar so guests can help themselves, even if it's just a couple of bottles of wine and water or a pot of coffee. Then, if anyone is desperate to be quenched before your husband gets to them, they can pour themselves a little something. CK asks, in the past year, my niece has lost a number of my gifts, a substantial gift card to Bed Bath & Beyond, which was a college graduation gift for starting her new apartment, a birthday check, and a Christmas check. She has never mentioned losing them, but my sister told me in confidence. I had discarded the gift card receipts, so that one is lost for good. My sister asked that I send new checks to replace the other gifts. Part of me is willing, but part of me wants to teach my niece to be more responsible. What should I do? Answer, if this were your child and she were a teenager, I'd say she'll learn that lesson organically from the natural consequences of her behavior. When she's eating her cold bread and butter, wishing she had the toaster she would have gotten with her gift card, she'll remember that she lost it and hopefully vow to be more careful in the future. But she's not your child, and she's not actually a child at all. Which is to say, teaching her a lesson is not really your job at this point. Your job, which you are doing beautifully, is to be her doting, benevolent aunt. Once a gift is given, it's no longer yours to fret over or keep track of, although you might want to stick to checks from now on, just in case. And SC asks, the last two times I invited a close friend and her daughter over for a party, she asked her daughter to come. I'm sorry, let me start this over. The last two times I invited a close friend and her husband over for a party, she asked her daughter to come too. Her daughter showed up with her very unruly and out of control 3-year-old son. The first time I said nothing. The second time, Christmas Day, my friend informed me her daughter was coming over. I asked if she was bringing her son. When she said yes, I said, please, no, I am not in the mood. Her response was, oh, she's on her way and won't stay long. I love my friend and her husband. I want to invite them to more gatherings, but I'm not sure how to handle it. Should I be up front and tell her the invite is not for her daughter and grandson? Should I not invite them? Answer, luckily you and your friend seem to share a direct style of communication. Neither of you tiptoes around the other's feelings, so I think you can be direct and transparent while respecting the delicacy of the situation. What should we do, you might ask her. You know how much I love spending time with you, and I don't want to exclude your daughter, but I feel cranky at the prospect of entertaining a preschooler. Can we make this dinner a grown-ups only event? Save this request for when you most require it. A holiday meal, for example, or an evening shindig. And then be inclusive when you're able, at a potluck or picnic, say, to your friend, so your friend isn't always having to choose, and so she knows you understand her responsibilities as a parent and grandparent. You can also look to spend more time at your friend's house, where the job and consequences of reining in the little hellion won't fall on you. Plus, this is, fingers crossed, just a phase. One day that wild child will be a lovely young man, and you'll be glad you stuck it out, right? second one from Redbook, One Move for a Sleeker Look. All shoulders are gorgeous and strong ones are extra sexy. This exercise from New York-based trainer Larissa Didio, creator of Fit in 10, is so simple you can squeeze it in anywhere between your less-than-glamorous loads of laundry. Step 1. Stand with your feet hip-width apart. Hold a bottle of laundry detergent in each hand, both roughly the same weight, palms facing your sides. Then, step 2, pull your abs in tight, and then lift the bottles up to the sides until your arms are parallel with the floor. Return to starting position and repeat 15 times. And then their suggestion for melting away holiday stress. These are some stretches to help soothe the tension that builds up in your back and neck, says trainer Andrea Mitchell, founder of the Mitchell Method. First, lie in bed with your butt. That's a good start, right? Lie in bed with your butt 6 to 12 inches from the edge and a rolled towel or bolster pillow under your tailbone. Pull your right knee in toward your chest. Stretch your left leg up, foot flexed. Slowly lower it to the floor, abs engaged. Breathe 1 minute and then switch sides. Then lie on your back with your knees bent, feet hip-width apart. Tilt your pelvis up and curl your back off the floor one vertebrae at a time. Place a block or stack of books under your pelvis and gently press your tailbone into it. Hold for several minutes. And last, the hanging child's pose. Find a secure spot 12 inches or more off the floor, such as a bed or sofa. Kneel with your knees turned out, toes together. Scooch to the edge and drape your head and arms over the side. Place your hands on the floor for support. Allow gravity to pull your head and neck down and hold for 1 minute. From Real Simple, balance. Looking forward, your peace of mind. The vast majority of people think life insurance is a smart money move, yet only 59% say they have coverage. How to go from well-intentioned to well-protected? These tips from experts make the process a little easier to navigate. First, press pause on your assumptions. With life insurance, sometimes the hardest part is getting started. Research shows that many people think they won't qualify or won't be able to afford it, but that's generally not true, says James Scanlon, senior research director at LIMRA, an insurance research association in Windsor, Connecticut. In one survey, 86% of respondents said they hadn't bought life insurance because it was too expensive, but many overestimated the premiums by more than triple. The good news, once you have a life insurance policy, unlike health insurance, which you might have to deal with every year, you could be hands-off for decades. Next, crunch the numbers. Think of the policy's death benefit as a stand-in for your earning power. If you die, your loved ones will need enough to replace your income at least until they can make other financial adjustments. Before you talk to an agent about how much insurance to buy, run the numbers yourself. Sites like Bankrate.com and LifeHappens.org, an education group formed by insurance industry organizations, offer online calculators that will estimate how much insurance you will need to cover any immediate expenses associated with your death and minimize the financial impact on your family. Next, pick a type of policy. There are two main kinds. Term life insurance covers you for a defined period, say 20 or 30 years, and is usually less expensive. Whole life insurance covers you for life and has an investment component. Whole life can be a way to save for retirement or save for education, but for many people, there are better ways of doing that, like funding your IRA or 529, says Benjamin Sullivan, a certified financial planner at Palisades Hudson Financial Group in Austin, Texas. There's no right answer for every situation, adds Scanlon, but term policies are simple and provide the most coverage per premium dollar. Life insurance offered as a benefit through your employer is nice, but it's not enough. Some policies are so meager that the death benefit wouldn't carry your family through the calendar year. And when you switch jobs, you can't take the policy with you. Think of this insurance as a free supplement to the real coverage you'll buy yourself. Then find an agent You'll pay the same amount for a particular policy whether you shop directly with an insurance carrier or through an independent insurance agent in the U.S., says Michael Quinn, an independent agent in Orlando, Florida, and owner of LifeInsuranceBlog.net. But comparing policies can really pay off because every insurer uses its own underwriting standards to assess risk. One might see your skydiving habit or type 1 diabetes diagnosis as a costly red flag, while another barely bumps the premiums. Interview at least two agents, suggests Marvin Feldman, president and CEO of LifeHappens.org. Get referrals from friends or online agent locators. Ask what are their specialties? How many carriers do they work with? Are they a captive agent, meaning they work with one carrier and can't recommend other companies' products? Or you can go it alone online. Sites like Ladder, Haven Life, Fabric, and True Stage can make buying easier. Instead of filling out a giant stack of forms, taking a medical exam, and then waiting 3 months to hear if you're approved, you might know within a week or much sooner, says Feldman. They can act fast because they rely on simplified underwriting and algorithms. But know that, as Sullivan notes, if you're a healthy individual, going through full underwriting can mean lower premiums, which might be worth the hassle. Once you have a plan, paying premiums annually may get you the cheapest rate. And tell the beneficiary. You'll give them peace of mind now and spare them from tracking down or even overlooking the policy in the future. Next from Real Simple, the short list, 5 books that won't disappoint. First, great for a book club. One Station Away is the title. Readers meet Magnus Collin, an accomplished neurologist, through the eyes of 3 women, his paralyzed patient, his famous pianist mother, and his late fiancée. Olaf Olafsson's emotional novel takes Magnus around the globe as he searches for a way to heal his patients and himself. Next, an international thriller. When successful Italian film producer Osco Martello goes missing after a fire destroys his glamorous villa, Rome is left in shock. Was the fire set by his beautiful muse, his best friend, or someone else altogether? In his heart-pounding novel called We'll Sleep When We're Old, Pino Corias, that's C-O-R-R-I-A-S, explores the dark secrets of the city's elite. Next, Forgotten History, the book called Enchantress of Numbers, imagines the life of Ada King, Countess of Lovelace, known today as the world's first computer programmer. In this fascinating homage, Jennifer Chiaverini, C-H-I-A-V-E-R-I-N-I, Jennifer traces not only King's professional accomplishments, but also the romance and family drama that tainted her personal life. Then there's food for thought. Why is the first bite of blueberry pie more delicious than the last? And why are shoppers with reusable bags often more likely to treat themselves? In Why You Eat What You Eat, neuroscientist Rachel Hertz, Ph.D., that's H-E-R-Z, dives into how we interact with what's on our plate. Readers will take away fun facts along with useful tips to curb cravings and eat smarter. And last, a wise memoir called No Time to Spare. National Book Award winner Ursula K. Le Guin, that's capital L-E, capital G-U-I-N, reflects on her lifetime of experiences. This collection of essays, originally published on Le Guin's blog from 2010 to 2015, touches on her feelings about everything from feminism to swear words in fiction. Each entry is filled with warmth, insight, and humor. From Redbook, protect yourself and your money. Next time there's some kind of data breach at a bank or store, and you know there will be, you won't need to panic, thanks to Nicole Lappin's wisdom. You've worked so hard to get your financial you-know-what in order, and then whammo, hackers swoop in to grab your info, leaving you and your money vulnerable. It's maddening, and dealing with it can feel overwhelming. Of course, it's not your fault, but most of us can do more to prevent data thieves from gaining easy access to our bank accounts, credit card numbers, and other personal information. Here's how to protect yourself against the inevitable security breach. Always manually enter account info. Sure, saving passwords and credit cards online makes banking and shopping convenient, but it also means you're trusting big companies to protect your data. And just because they're big doesn't mean they're secure. Clear all automatic entry data in your browser settings. Manually typing credit card numbers not only is safer, but also curbs impulse spending. Create unique passwords. Maybe you've created a secure password like PSWRD123, but when you use a similar one like PSWRD456, a hacker with access to one can more easily figure out the other. Using new word combos for all your accounts really is the best way to protect yourself. I keep track of all mine on a spreadsheet and opt for multi-factor authentication whenever it's offered. Those two things are always. Sometimes, sign up for fraud alerts. If you spot a suspicious charge on your bill, it's important to be vigilant about your account activity. An alert, which lasts for 90 days, forces creditors to contact you to verify your identity before they open an account. It's a free service you can get from CreditWise.CapitalOne.com or sometimes from your own credit card. Also, sometimes freeze your credit. If a charge triggers a fraud alert, definitely lock down your credit. A freeze restricts access to your credit report, making it tough for identity thieves to open accounts in your name. To set up a freeze, call each of the major credit reporting agencies and pay a fee, usually $5 to $10. For an added cost, you can temporarily access your credit to open an account, for example. Otherwise, a freeze will last until you choose to lift it. And then never give account numbers over the phone. I've gotten scary calls saying I owe money to the IRS, and I may be arrested. Government agencies will send official letters to track you down. They'll never call you. Just hang up, then block the number through your service provider. Never respond to bank emails. Your bank might send emails with balance alerts or financial tips, but they'll never want a response this way. If you receive a request for your account numbers, even if it's in an official-looking email, delete it or mark it as spam. Bottom line, always call your bank directly. If they need your info, they'll tell you then. The power to stay safe is always in your hands. And this by Nicole Lapin, L-A-P-I-N. She's the author of Boss Bitch, a simple 12-step plan to take charge of your career, and one of the stars of the nationally syndicated show, Hatched. We'll move on to recipes now. I've got a couple of goodies for you. First of all, from Redbook, use up that eggnog. So you bought a few too many cartons for your holiday party. You do not have to chug them all. What you can do is turn them into a delicious spiced pancake batter. In a large bowl, whisk together 1.5 cups flour, 1 tablespoon sugar, 1.5 teaspoons baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon grated fresh nutmeg. Mix in 2 large eggs, 1.5 cups of that eggnog, 2 tablespoons melted butter, and 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract. Then griddle them up. And that sounds like that makes quite a few. From Real Simple, if you've got leftover cranberries from the holiday, here's a drink called a cranberry mule. Here's what you need. This just makes 1.5 ounces vodka, 2 ounces ginger beer, and 1 ounce cranberry juice. Fill a chilled copper mug with ice, add the vodka, ginger beer, cranberry juice, and then stir to combine. Garnish with lime wedge and some more cranberries. From Family Circle, sausage and white bean bake. This is a good one for the cold winter weather. Active time is 15 minutes, total time 30. Heat oven to 400 degrees. Heat a large, deep, oven-safe skillet on medium. Add 1 tablespoon olive oil and 1.5 pounds small sweet Italian sausages and brown on all sides 8 to 10 minutes. Transfer the sausages to a plate. Add 2 cloves garlic chopped and 2 tablespoons fresh oregano leaves roughly chopped to the skillet and cook stirring 1 minute. Add 2 15-ounce cans cannellini beans rinsed and drained and 1/2 cup dry white wine. Simmer 1 minute. Then add 1/2 cup low-sodium chicken broth, 1.5 cups cherry tomatoes, cut in half, and a quarter teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper. Nestle the sausages in the mixture, transfer to the oven, and bake until sausages are cooked through, or approximately 165 degrees, 8 to 10 minutes. Sprinkle with oregano leaves if desired. This serves six, about 560 calories each, 38 grams fat, 26 grams protein, 1,080 milligrams sodium, 26 grams carbs, and 11 grams fiber. From Family Circle, I've got a couple healthy family dinners. First, kale Caesar with shrimp. This makes four servings, prep time 25 minutes. 5 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 5 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 5 tablespoons grated Parmesan, 2 oil-packed anchovy fillets drained, 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 1 clove garlic, 1 1/4 pounds colossal shrimp with tails on, that's about 12 shrimp, and a pinch of salt, 4 diagonally cut, half-inch thick slices of baguette, or about 3 ounces total, and 12-ounce lacinato kale, tough stems discarded, cleaned, and halved. First, heat your broiler. In a mini chopper or the small bowl of a food processor, combine 4 tablespoons of oil, 3 tablespoons each lemon juice and Parmesan, the anchovies, mustard, and garlic. Pulse until blended and smooth. Toss shrimp with 1 tablespoon oil, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, and a pinch of salt. Place bread on a baking sheet, spritz with nonstick olive oil, and sprinkle each slice with a half teaspoon parm. That's Parmesan. Broil 2 minutes. Meanwhile, heat a large stainless skillet over medium high to high heat. Add the shrimp. Cook 2 to 3 minutes. Flip and cook 2 minutes until cooked through. Toss kale with half the dressing. Divide among 4 plates. Top with shrimp and drizzle with remaining dressing. Serve with Parmesan-topped toasts. Per serving, 505 calories, 21 grams fat, 4 grams saturated, 40 grams of protein, 43 of carbs, 0 sugar, 4 grams fiber, 808 milligrams sodium. How about clams Rockefeller pasta? 6 servings, prep time 15 minutes. 1 tablespoon unsalted butter, 1/4 cup seasoned breadcrumbs, 1 pound Orecchia pasta. No, I'm not saying that. Orecchiette pasta. It's the ones that look like little condoms. I hate to say it. 4 ounces bacon chopped. 1 cup diced onion. 3 cloves garlic sliced. 5 ounce fresh baby spinach. 1/2 cup clam juice. 1/2 cup dry white wine. 2 pounds little neck clams scrubbed. And 1/4 cup heavy cream. Bring a large pot of lightly salted water to a boil. In a small skillet, melt butter over medium, add breadcrumbs and stir, cooking until brown 2 minutes. Remove from heat. Add pasta to the boiling water and cook 10 minutes. Drain. Meanwhile, cook bacon in a large lidded stainless sauté pan over medium until crisp, 6 minutes. Remove with a slotted spoon and discard all but 2 tablespoons bacon fat from the pan. Add onion and cook 4 minutes. Stir in garlic and cook 1 minute. Stir spinach, clam juice, and wine into the pan, then add clams. Cover and cook 8 minutes or until the clams open. Discard any that don't open. Add cream to the pan. Then in a large bowl, combine contents of the pan with pasta, bacon, and breadcrumbs. Per serving, 526 calories, 21 grams fat, 10 saturated, 26 grams protein, 60 grams carbs, 4 grams of sugars, 1 gram fiber, and 725 milligrams sodium. Another one that's good for the colder weather, cod chowder. This makes 6 servings, prep time 20 minutes, cook time 23. You need 3 tablespoons unsalted butter, 1 large onion diced, 2 large carrots peeled and diced, 2 ribs celery diced, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 3 cloves garlic sliced, 1/2 cup all-purpose flour, 1 32-ounce box seafood stock, 3 cups whole milk, 1 1/4 pounds russet potatoes peeled and diced, 3 sprigs fresh thyme plus more for garnish, which is optional, 1 1/2 to 1 3/4 pounds skinless cod fillets cut into 1-inch pieces. Heat your butter in a large stock pot over medium. Add onion, carrots, celery, salt, and pepper, and cook, stirring occasionally 5 minutes. Stir in garlic and cook 2 minutes. Sprinkle with flour and cook 1 minute. Whisk in stock and milk. Stir in potatoes and thyme sprigs. Increase heat to medium-high and bring to a boil. Reduce to medium-low and simmer 10 minutes. Stir in cod. Cover and cook 5 minutes until fish is opaque. Remove thyme stems and serve. Per serving, 386 calories, 12 grams fat, 6 saturated, 32 grams protein, 38 grams carbs, 9 of sugars, 3 grams fiber, 788 milligrams sodium. And one more, pasta puttanesca. 6 servings, prep time 15, cooking 17. You need 4 tablespoons EVU extra virgin olive oil, 1 large shallot peeled and minced, 4 cloves garlic sliced, 6 to 8 oil-packed anchovy fillets drained and chopped, or 1.5 to 2 tablespoons anchovy paste, 1 pound linguine, 1 can, that's 28 ounces, crushed tomatoes, 1 tablespoon sugar, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/4 teaspoon freshly cracked black pepper, 1/4 cup sliced green olives, 2 tablespoons capers drained, 1 cup basil leaves torn. Bring a large pot of lightly salted water to a boil. Heat oil in a large lidless stainless skillet over medium. Add shallot and garlic and cook, stirring 3 minutes. Add anchovies and reduce heat to medium-low. Cook 4 minutes, breaking apart with a spoon. Meanwhile, add linguine to boiling water and cook 9 to 10 minutes, then drain. Stir crushed tomatoes, sugar, salt, and pepper into skillet. Cover and simmer 10 minutes, adding olives and capers after 5. Stir in basil and remove from heat. Add cooked linguine to the sauce and toss to coat. Serve warm. Per serving, 444 calories, 12 grams of fat, 2 grams saturated, 13 grams protein, 72 grams carbs, 12 grams of sugar, 6 grams fiber, 793 milligrams sodium. From Real Simple, when we slow down and deepen our breathing, we have the opportunity to stimulate our parasympathetic nervous system, sometimes called our rest and digest system. A very simple technique to bring our breath and mind in sync is to experience the breath moving as deeply as is comfortable. So, sitting up tall, so there is space for the breath, feel it as it flows into the lungs. No need to strain to breathe deeply. Just let the breath go where it wants. And then observe the breath as it leaves the body. Again, no need to force the breath out. Without rushing, continue to breathe this way. You might find that the breath is very happy to deepen all on its own. This easy depth is profoundly soothing. And this came from Edward Jones, wheelandaxle.net. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time.